Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Paul David.
And I'm your co-host, Maya Doran-Paul-Hornby.
Today, we're talking about bridging the AI literacy gap with Shen Solan, co-founder at Launch Lemonade and the director of Scale That Thing.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. I saw you on a panel. I think it was an AI panel in the city. And I was just really thrilled by what I saw on stage and came up to you and was like, hey, we need to get you on the pod. That was months ago and now you're here. So thank you for that.
Thank you. No, yeah, I think it was in January or February, so it must have been
a while back.
But you left an impression.
Yeah. I know, I'm glad.
One of the things that got me excited about you is just a bit of bio. AI advocate Shen Solan is fighting to make AI a tool at everyone's disposal. Shen has founded Scale That Thing, offering more tailored services to help businesses scale with AI. We need that. We're going to talk about that afterwards. And as well, Launch Lemonade, a no-code platform for users to turn their ideas into an AI-powered business. We have lots to talk about after this podcast, by the way. Shen wears many hats. She's also a Techstars mentor, just, you know, on the side, and part of the angel investing school team, while also finding time to provide product-led growth and startup consultancy services. How do you fit it all in, Shen?
With AI.
Right answer.
A walking advertisement.
Yeah, it's all about working smart and hard, I suppose, for me, because I'm trying to really work hard in getting AI in front of everyone. But yeah, I advocate for a well-lived life as well. So yeah, it's all about working smart, not hard, too hard.
That really resonates with us. We're like a marketing agency, growth agency that's trying to integrate AI into our practice. So much more to talk about after that. But also, we run a 4-day work week. We've got like a hybrid / remote work setup for folks. And we're really trying to find that balance. And I think AI is going to be, I think it is. It's definitely going to be a big part of that. Maybe first you can kick us off by just explaining a little bit about Launch Lemonade and Scale That Thing.
Sure. So Launch Lemonade is the Canva or Shopify for AI enablement. So right now everyone's designing and everyone's been able to build collateral for their businesses and build their brands with Canva. Back in COVID as well, everyone monetized for their e-commerce businesses through Shopify. We want to do the same for AI enablement. We believe that AI is and should be for all, given that it's using data and designing our experiences. We should have a stake at how it evolves. Scale That Thing is a business, so I'm basically fractional AI and product officer for startups and businesses, where I help them identify the gaps in their businesses and figure out how we can scale their operations or improve their products with AI.
And what, like, maybe give us a bit more about, like, how did you land on this as a mission for yourself? Just curious about that from a personal perspective.
Sure. So I've worked in finance and fintech and B2B SaaS. I've had projects in deep tech as well. But over the years, I've managed bigger budgets and bigger teams. At one point, I had a development team of 30 engineers, scientists, and data analysts and architects. We were able to grow some of these businesses into unicorns with AI. So we implemented like machine learning models, credit models, fraud models. We used facial recognition. Years ago in 2018, we implemented a chatbot service using NLP already back then, although no one wanted to call it even machine learning was a term no one really understood. But we implemented those and it immediately overnight would like benefit the business. And so I already saw the potential of AI and was privileged enough to lead some of these projects that worked on a lot of AI, machine learning, and really cool tech. But now that the language models came out and AI is more cost effective than ever, I thought everyone should be able to utilize this and maximize this and have a stake on how this thing evolves. Everyone can build. So that's why we've built Launch Lemonade and Scale That Thing. You know, I've worked for a lot of startups and yeah, I'm just scaling my impact by providing the services and my knowledge to startups as well.
In terms of helping people have a stake in how AI evolves, can you explain that a bit more in terms of the activities of Launch Lemonade?
So Launch Lemonade is a no-code AI platform where people and our users can access different language models. You've got ChatGPT, Anthropic, Llama, Cohere, Perplexity, Mistral, like Grok. We've got the major language models in there. So right now, if you're curious about AI, you might be using ChatGPT and like prompting it a little bit, or you could be exploring Claude. And then you pay for subscriptions, and then you find all these like sales tools, marketing tools, whatnot. I think it's all great, but it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah. I feel personally victimized by this.
So our mission at Launch Lemonade is to basically democratize access to all of these tools and language models, and also provide a platform where people can create, people can understand how these things work, and develop their skills in building AI tools through a no-code platform. You don't have to be too technical or technical at all to maximize and take advantage of AI. So yeah, that's how we're doing that in our kind of like own special way.
Curious how you feel about the pace of AI adoption. Like that's one thing, like as a business owner, I struggle with. I'm like, are we keeping up fast enough? Are we rolling it out too quickly for the team? Or they feel like, you know, their job's going to be taken away, or like we're eating away at their, you know, their remit as workers. So just really curious about how you're seeing the pace of how you're seeing things. If you feel like it's too fast, is it fast, you know, not fast enough?
I am both excited and a little bit concerned. I think that the adaption to prompting to create content on ChatGPT is good. Yeah, like we're seeing people create loads of content using ChatGPT. But I am concerned about the adoption and the upskilling around actually building on the language models and maximizing it, for example, for strategy or just using it for day-to-day. I think the adoption from that perspective could be faster. So yeah, I'm both excited for, because I feel like I'm in an echo chamber. So a lot of our builders are building cool stuff. Like we've got people building nutritionists on our platform, life coaches, consultants, building their own AI teams. We've got people building like their son's tutors, or there's so many use cases we're seeing on the platform. We've just implemented an exec team for a really cool startup, and they're building like a council to use in their business. So we're seeing so many cool stuff, but again, I'm in an echo chamber of the people who are onboarding the platform. I feel like when we were just starting to talk to these people who are now using Launch Lemonade, they had no idea or clue that they can do that. So we've had to educate and convert them. That's been the journey of converting our customers so far.
I feel like people's sorts of the ways that they approach your platforms and then the output that they come out with, it must evolve hugely while they're on your platform because they learn how AI can serve them.
Yes.
Could you explain an example where that's happened?
Yeah. So I think that because they are kind of also designing the features and the instructions, they're designing the AI tool, they're also beginning to understand that it's not perfect, but they can train it, like they can design AI tools. So as we onboard users who are wanting to build their own custom copilots, they probably just, you know, they're not satisfied with ChatGPT. They've been impressed, but they're unsatisfied with the output. Like they can't manipulate enough. Like they have to prompt every time they want to change the type of output that ChatGPT gives. But with Launch Lemonade, they're able to design their own instructions, put their brand in, and every time they interact with it, it provides them with an output based on how they've designed it. So they have access, they have control. And I think that has been kind of like how our users have been more empowered with the AI tool, the platform that we've provided and built.
And in terms of your users, you've mentioned sort of more professional applications of the AI and also more personal applications, like the mum who's building her son an AI tutor. Uh-huh. Have you found that it's a 50-50 split, or it's much more skewed towards organizations using it?
So we have a split of, there are a lot of entrepreneurs building their MVPs at Launch Lemonade. So they've got an idea like, oh, I want to build this AI tool, but I must need like a development team. I can probably outsource it. And then they discover Launch Lemonade and they're like, actually, I could just spend $20 a month and won't need my a development team to just test an idea out and take it to market. So we've got like a group that is doing that. We've got maybe about 40% of our users have personal plans, meaning they're building their AI team out. So I, for example, have a marketing AI team that I built on Launch Lemonade, a operations AI team that I built on Launch Lemonade, a admin team that I built on Launch Lemonade. So people are building their own like teams in Launch Lemonade for personal use, whether that's for a LinkedIn co-pilot, a blog writer, a proposal writer, to basically scale their operations. And then we've got like businesses, about another 40% are teams that want to design their own set of AI co-pilots for the team to use, so it's consistent. So for example, you're a lean team of 10 and you're a content team. Now you're wanting to rely more on AI to produce more content. So an admin could design a set of AI tools for you, and then the rest of the team can use the same set of tools. So that means your brand is consistent, the tone of voice is consistent, it understands your business, and you're able to train it together. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the people who are just experimenting. We've got like developers and whatnot for the rest of our users.
And so with the platform hosting such a variety of use cases, how do you collect data on the sort of success stories that have happened, you know, the MVPs that have gone to market on your platform?
That's a really great question. So I'm from the product world, and I've always believed in niching down on an ICP. Like, if you put me in a product team and a growth team, I'll be like, all right, let's figure out who our users are, and then let's double down on finding them and acquiring them. With Launch Lemonade, we kind of went rogue. We were like, we've got a product, like it's so, we can take this to market right now. We can spend a couple of months figuring out who to target, or we could just talk about it and let's see who, you know, signs up and who pays for it. And then we learn about them and then just build for them. And that's what we did. We had, because we're self-funded and we're able to sustain the build quite lightly, we were able to do that and experiment that way. So how we've been doing that is just literally just talking to our customers every day, figuring if they sign up and they pay for us, we're like on WhatsApp with them. What are the issues? How can we improve? If they want a feature, we'll see if other people want it. I literally have a WhatsApp group right now of like 150 builders, and we just like share insights, share tips. I give them free master classes as well. And that's just how we've been doing it, really. Like, and then they tell us, oh my God, I've told this accelerator program about you. Oh, I've told someone, a colleague about you. I've told this business about you. And that's how we've been kind of like steadily growing. Now we have 600 users.
And I presume it also cultivates that between the organizations on it as well, and that they can sort of tell the accelerator about this other business who's using Launch Lemonade or...
Exactly. So yeah, it's been a mixture of building personal relationships that we've been building and also recommendations.
Curious about like the predominant tasks that users will try to automate using your platform, but also how do you deal with this like over-promising element of like people are like, oh, we can just use AI for this. And it's like, can we? Like, are we there yet? Yeah. So just curious like what tasks folks are doing and how you're dealing with that challenge of where we are in the moment with AI.
Really interesting question. There are two paths that people take when they get curious about AI enabled and then they start exploring it. One is they heard someone else is doing it, or two, they come up with an idea and they're like, oh, maybe this works. So those are kind of like the two common paths. With the first path, it's easy. Like we put a video up and they're like, oh my God, I want to do that as well. So they emulate it, they get on a call with us and they help them build. This is the easy route. But then there's a other route where like, this is what I want to do. I want it to perform this way. And they either start exploring or get on a call with us and then we figure out together how it works. But I think the important thing or layer there is that you have to caveat that it's not perfect and it's not magic. So you collaborate with it to give it the output that you desire. So you still are part of the process of building an output that you need. With systems disappointing people, it's quite common. And I think it's because and I mentioned this in a previous podcast, I think it's because we have this expectation that it'll just fix everything. But I think where the products are, what some of these products are missing in their positioning is that it will just speed things up. It'll make things better. It'll give you more time. But it's not perfect. So I think that's where some of these products are failing. And some of the, and also why people are unsatisfied with some of these tools.
And so does the platform itself have a sort of strategizing component where a business might come with their business goals and the platform helps identify what can be co-piloted, what can be automated, and what maybe can't?
Yeah. So yes and no, but what we do promote is critical thinking and how they can build a co-pilot that helps them strategize and figures out, okay, this is the data that I have of my business. These are the gaps. Can you tell me what I can, like, you can do that now. Anyone can do this. I'll give this to you for free. Give an AI tool your objectives and your goals. Give it your existing performance, you know, for social media performance, conversion rates. And then ask the AI tool, can you come up with a strategy for me to improve my conversion rates? Can you suggest some campaigns that I can run? And then you can build co-pilots that will activate all of those campaigns, all of those activities. That's part of my strategy, personal strategy as well, in getting customers for Scale That Thing and Launch Lemonade, is that kind of thinking. Align all of your ideas with your main business objective or your life objective. And then once you've figured out, like, what you've honed in on your business objective or life objective, then start identifying activities that will allow you to get to that objective. And then once you've started figuring out those activities, what channels, what assets do you have to activate to achieve, to do those actions to get to your objective?
And that leads us on perfectly to my question about the recent live demo that you gave. Could you explain to our listeners what that was, and did an AI tell you to do that?
Wow. So the live, I've done quite a few live demos, but that was a very first one. It was in front of like 150 people, and no one in the event has done a live demo. It was just like, all right, let's just do it. So many wrong things happened. Like the Wi-Fi wasn't working, people couldn't sign up, but eventually it worked. And I basically just did a live demo on how to build a proposal writer. It was actually an audience member who said, can we do this? This is what I'd like for you to build. And I was just like, who has an idea of a copilot to build? I'll build it in front of everyone. And it worked. So they wanted to basically build an AI proposal writer that could generate a proposal just at the back of conversation. It records your conversations. Launch Lemonade as an audio tool. So you record your conversation, let's say with a client, and then after the conversation, you hit send and it generates the bid or the proposal for you that you can send to a client right away.
Wow, I hope they're a happy Launch Lemonade customer now.
I think so.
We'd like to kind of get a little bit into like a bit more of your founder story. So we'd love to hear a bit more about you as an angel investor. I think that's really interesting. Wondering how you find navigating the world of investment as a woman of color in particular. And obviously we know all the terrible stats about how not diverse that world is, you know, in the world of investment. And also if there are any communities in the field that you think it's worthwhile to shout about in terms of your experience.
Yeah, the Angel Investing School. So the founder of Angel Investing School is Andy Ayim. He's my mentor. He was a former manager of mine at a fintech company, and that's how we connected. That must have been 4 years ago. And he basically founded Angel Investing School to diversify that world. So we need more people of color investing, and we need more people of color getting investment. And that's the whole mission. A couple of months ago, we open sourced our classes and lessons so that more people who are interested in investing and figuring out how to start investing for tech startups could start their journeys. My journey started just because I was affiliated with Andy, and he was doing it. And I was like, ooh, that's cool. And then I basically just did his course, and then started facilitating his course, and then started issuing small tickets to female founders. And that's just been it. I think it's all about immersing yourself in that world and understanding that there is a gap, and then see how you could fill that gap, either, you know, as an investor or as someone supporting the startup and the founders from diverse backgrounds.
Yeah, probably worth shouting out too, like the fact that as of July 2024, at least on the Launch Lemonade side, that 6 out of 10 of your builders are women. So like, yeah, curious to hear how you think you've achieved that kind of success. I mean, that's massive based on what we hear are the typical stats in terms of who engages with stuff. So curious to hear about
right?
that.
Right. Yeah. I'm so proud of that stat. Yeah. So I don't think you'll ever hear anywhere of a tech tool, builder platform where more women are building than men.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll find that anywhere. And I'm so proud of that stat. So, and we have that, we still have that. That stat is still true so far. And I think that it's because of how we've represented ourselves in the market.
Mm.
I'm very, I guess you could say I'm very feminine, and I will not manipulate my vocabulary or the way I talk just so I could attract a certain audience. I believe in authenticity, and I think that has permeated to our audience, and they've been able to resonate with that brand, with our mission to make AI accessible to all, and the type of language that we use as well around AI. We put an intention around like our messaging that it should be clear, it should be simple, it should be understandable. And I think that's how we've been able to convert users from a different, finally, from a different background than your usual builder. I had a customer a month ago saying, I've yet to be, I'm almost, like, I'm waiting for my diagnosis for autism and neuro, I'm a neurodiverse learner. And Launch Lemonade has really helped me understand this and being able to use AI. And I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, like that has been still the best review I ever got. And I guess that's, it's not perfect. Like some people will still get confused with the platform we're building in public. But the fact that, you know, like after a conversation or a demo, people are able to build and use the tech AI, like it's, yeah, I'm really proud of that achievement.
Could you explain a bit about the name Launch Lemonade? Why did you go with that?
It's actually a funny story. I don't know if you find it funny, but we were originally called gpthost.io. And we were like, oh, this is going to be so smart with SEO. People are going to be building GPTs. But we were living in an echo chamber. Like we understood what GPTs were. This was back in December. Like everyone's going to be building GPTs. And then OpenAI released an announcement that they were going to trademark GPT. And we were like, oh, you know what? It's better, like, let's be safe. Like, what name can we think of? I'm not going to lie. We did ask AI, an AI tool, ideate with us. But ultimately, we really like the idea of launching your lemonade stand or AI lemonade stand, because our ideal customer profiles are non-tech and new to AI. And one of our first value propositions was anyone could monetize from their AI creations. We were like, this is their first AI lemonade stand, and so we called it Launch Lemonade.
Mm.
And I love your sort of emphasis on learning by experimentation, because like with sort of launching a lemonade stand, anybody can experiment, and naturally as a byproduct you learn. I was wondering how you sort of apply that philosophy in your work, but also your life more generally.
Yeah, I experiment every day. I see what works for me. I see what works for my customers. I see what works for the people around me. And then I double down on that. As a former product manager, you live this kind of principle of challenging and championing. And so you challenge an existing thing and then see if it works, and then champion what's better, and then you repeat and rinse and repeat that cycle. And I think it's a fun way to live life. It's a fun way to grow a product where you launch experiments and make a game out of it. So I've been doing that for pretty with food, with exercise.
I feel like as much of life that you can see as play, the better.
Exactly.
Brilliant. So moving on to more quickfire questions. If you could found another tech startup, what would it be and why?
I would build a tool that would be able to trace where a deep fake is coming from.
Mm.
So I've been thinking about this for the past couple of years. How can we build a solution around deep fake? And it's very hard to stop deepfake. Like it's so easy. Mm-hmm. But can we figure out a way to trace where it comes from? Because mm-hmm. right now I can't think of a single good thing that can come out of a deepfake. Mm. I can't come up with a use case. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is a mm-hmm. small, you know, there's, but it's more bad than good. And so, yeah, that's what I would try to build if I had the time and the capacity and the resource. Like 80% of deepfakes are women for porn.
Yeah. And I mean, that there are the crazy stats about like what actually drives technological innovation, and it's sex and it's porn.
It is.
It's a shame.
There's an incident in Korea where they ask all the students from many schools to delete all photos from all of the social media because they're in, like, I don't know if you heard of the Telegram. The founder of Telegram got caught. So in Korea, in South Korea, they have Telegram channels where they would just post deep fakes of their classmates, their moms, their sisters. And it was became a,
what?
Like a big problem. And so women, girls from 5 years old and up have been asked to delete their photos on social media platforms.
That should not be
crazy.
Not be happening.
What tech invention makes you the most excited right now?
AI agents. So I am really excited about how AI agents could free humans from the old way of thinking around what makes life good. So we have, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, we've been thinking that the measure of man is around their IQ and their productivity and the amount of money they have or the amount of power they have. But I think now that we have visions of it possibly being able to offload a lot of that to agents, I'm excited about what that could mean for human around prioritizing connectivity, creativity. Mm. So I'm excited about that.
What are you most scared about?
I'm excited, but also most scared about hyper-personalization. So you guys are marketeers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, want to provide personalized experiences because it's good for conversion and it's good for the customer as well. Like, you know, we're able to streamline what we offer them based on exactly what they need and exactly what they want. But the reason why I'm scared about that is with AI scaling it's hyper personalization. I am scared about how man might not have the power to choose anymore. So the lack of choice is scary for me, as much as I want to be offered exactly what I need and exactly what I want at that time. I still want to choose. I still want to have the power to control what I consume, what I watch, what I learn, how my life will evolve. So yeah, I'm quite scared about how. Because men can be easily influenced, like you've got, right?
Can confirm.
Social media algorithms influencing what you consume. So, yeah, I think that is one thing to watch out for.
Sort of like automating autonomy away.
Exactly.
Who's a literal human who's been integral to your career journey?
So my parents have been very empowering and supportive of my journey. My mom and my dad both worked growing up. They both had careers. And my dad always said that I could do anything that I want and I could be whoever I want to be. My mom, not so much, but they were still very supportive and empowering. And I think without them saying, okay, if you think you can do it, then I wouldn't be where I am at today.
And how about a quote, an inspirational quote that's kind of stuck with you in your journey throughout the tech world?
To be so free that your existence is an act of rebellion.
Camus?
By Albert Camus.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That is the quote that I've kind of just really liberated me from thinking anything else but be authentic and go
learn
for
it. Experiments.
Yeah.
It all ties in.
Yeah. Yeah, really appreciate, I mean, that's a great quote, and really appreciate the point about like learning through experimentation. Well, that's kind of the end of our show today. I would love to share with our listeners where they can learn more about Launch Lemonade and Scale That Thing and your other ventures on the interwebs. What are the best places to find out more about you?
So if you just want to learn about AI, you can follow me on my socials, Shannon AI. I'm on YouTube and TikTok.
Wow.
If you want a more of a professional setting, I'm on LinkedIn.
Nice.
And my websites are launchlaminate.app for Launch Laminate, scalethatthing.com for Scale That Thing. And I have a personal website where I publish everything AI at shensalon.com.
Wow, prolific. You've got all the platforms covered there. Wow, well done. As a marketing agency, you're like, oh, wow, okay. Well, yeah, we really appreciate you jumping on the pod today. This has been a great episode of Tech Can Save Us, talking about bridging the AI literacy gap with Shen Solan, the co-founder at Launch Laminate and director of Scale That Thing. Thanks, everyone. And as always, please give us a review. If you enjoyed the episode, it helps us find more great guests like Shen.
And I'm also just going to add in here, you can find a questionnaire in our episode description or more of a feedback form to just give us some information about why you like the podcast and how we can improve it. So we would really appreciate that if you could fill that in.
Send it in. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.